Well, good morning, everybody. It is October 8th, 2023. It's been about 2,000 years since Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth before he was resurrected. But before Jesus Christ came, there was this rather unique individual. It was his cousin called John the Baptist. So we're going to go in a little bit about John the Baptist. And I've got all these scriptures here. Too many. I went and looked all this stuff up. I have to go through and use about 30% of the scriptures that I looked up. And even then, it was a lot about... The guy had a fairly short ministry, but it was very impactful. And I remember when I first became a Christian, was taking a Bible class back in the 1970s, and these people were telling me there was another group around in that area in Rockford, Illinois, and this John the Baptist would appear to these people and give them direction. And so I could tell it was baloney, because the only person who was raised from the dead that's alive now is Jesus Christ. And so I said, well, next time you see him, ask him if John appears with or without his head. Because obviously it wasn't John the Baptist, it was some devil spirit. And the devil will come and imitate, and he'll deceive many. And like we were talking about before fellowship started, about how somebody said it was dark in Toledo. Well, it's kind of dark everywhere. The world needs guidance. And John the Baptist came at a time that was a lot of things were going on. It was very dark. The Roman Empire had taken over Judea. They were occupied, had a military army occupying their land. And they were wondering why God didn't deliver them. And they were looking for the Messiah to come and be like King David. And they wanted Jesus to lead an army to defeat Rome. And that's not what Jesus came to do. He came to make available the gift of the Holy Spirit that we could get born again. But it was such turbulent times that John the Baptist had to come first to prepare the way. And John the Baptist did something rather unique. He instituted this thing called baptism, hence he's called John the Baptist. And you don't see baptism as part of the Old Testament law. And it was a practice that sometimes when they would bring proselytes into Judean religion, they're saying, you're so far out there that you need to show humility to God. You need to show that you've totally changed your life. And they had this ritual they would use sometimes for that called baptism. Well, John the Baptist used this for people that were already supposedly God's people, but they were so far away from God that said, you guys, to come back to God, you're gonna have to come back as if you're a proselyte and you've never been one of God's people before. And so let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 27, over here on this page. And this is Philip, there was a great persecution in Jerusalem, and they were persecuting the believers. And so what happened is they all went to a cave, and they hunkered down and became hermits. No, they went out and spoke the word. They split up and they moved out to other areas. And Philip went to this area, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of the youth, so on, was returning, sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, said, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither. Gotta love King James, thither. Hey, Diane, after fellowship, you want to go thither?
Okay.
We're going to have some fun. We're going to go with thither. So, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Hey, dude, do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And when we're young, or young in the word, or when you're not fully instructed, we need a mentor. We need somebody to help guide us. But then eventually we get to the point where we can open the Bible and we can read it and we can understand it without somebody guiding us. But this guy needed some help. And verse 32, in the place of the scripture where he read was, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. His humiliation, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "What's this guy talking about? Is he talking about himself or somebody else?" And Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, and it basically showed him that, you know, look, he was the Messiah. He died for our sins. His body was broken that we could have healing. His blood was shed that we could be without sin. And then he was taken away, and now it's available to get born again. And he started teaching them all about that, all that stuff. And verse 36, "And when they went their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.'" And so, let's flip over to Acts 11. And it's sort of a continuation of the story here. And see, the church was started. You could sort of say that John the Baptist laid a foundation for the coming of Christ, and he instituted this practice called baptism. And the eunuch said, "Well, you know, here's some water. Can I get baptized?" So let's go to Acts chapter 11, verse 7. And here it's talking about, "I heard a voice." This is Peter talking about how Peter had a similar occurrence where he went and he had the Cornelius, or the Centurion band. I got their CD. They're pretty good, the Italian band. They got the accordion and all that stuff. No, it was a band of soldiers. So he went to Cornelius' house, he witnessed to him, got him born again, and they all spoke in tongues. And the Jews, they didn't like the idea that unbelievers were getting born again. They wanted to keep it to all them to themselves. You know, and that's not God's plan, that was the Jews' plan. And so, verse 7, "And I heard a voice saying, 'Arise,' saying unto me, 'Arise, Peter, slay and eat.'" He's talking about the vision he had. "And I said, 'Not so, Lord. I've never eaten any common or unclean animal.'" He was shown a vision of all these things he wouldn't normally eat. And God said, "You're going to eat this." And Peter said, "No, I'm not." I said, "I got to obey the Old Testament law." See, slowly they were learning through the book of Acts that they really didn't need to do the Old Testament law. They were learning. The Apostle Paul hadn't written the book of Romans and Ephesians yet. They didn't know the doctrine, that the law. They hadn't written Galatians yet, where they knew that the law, Christ was the end of the law. Verse 9, but the voice answered me again from heaven and said, what God has cleansed, call thou not common. Good. See, if it was only Judeans that could get born again, I don't think anybody in this meeting today has Judean blood. I don't think any of us are Jews. And if you are, that's great. And if you're not, that's great too. God no longer looks at people through that lens. And verse 10, this was done three times and drawn up to heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men, and he went and so on and so on. And I want to get down to, let's see, verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on each of them as from the beginning. Basically, what he's saying, they spoke in tongues. He was taught him the word, and they spoke in tongues. In verse 16, and then I remembered how the word of the Lord, it said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Spirit. For as much then as God gave them the gift, like he did unto us, who believed the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was I that I could withstand God? In other words, he was going to baptize them, but he didn't baptize. He saw they got born again, were speaking in tongues, and he realized, they slowly, through the book of Acts, began to realize that, okay, this baptism is no longer necessary. But it was needed at the beginning, because people... The Israelites were so far out there, they needed a way to come back to God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:17. What did the Apostle Paul say about baptism? Well, here, chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ become of none effect. There's another place where I forget where the scripture is. He says, I'm thankful that I only baptized a few people. You know, and Paul wasn't, his ministry wasn't a ministry of baptism. It was a ministry of teaching that we don't have to come back to God like we're outside the pale and we're begging to get back in. God, Jesus Christ paid the price. The beating he took, you know, by the five senses we're not worthy, but because of what he did, Jesus Christ made us worthy. And because of his blood being shed, we can stand before God without sin. We don't have to worry about, oh, gee, when I was 7 years old, I stole cookies out of the cookie jar, and I lied to my mom about it, you know. And we don't have to worry about that anymore, because it's all been forgiven. So let's go to Matthew chapter 11. In 11, oh, let's see. Well, what had happened is, I'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus made an end to the commanding of his 12 disciples, he departed thence and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So John, we remember the story, they say ministers shouldn't get political. Well, John got political. He went to the king and he said, hey, that woman that's your wife, that's not your wife, that's your brother's wife. You stole your brother's wife and you're having her as your own wife. And the kings figured, well, I'm the king, I can get away with this stuff. See, they had these crooked kings, they had these crooked religious leaders, and then they had the Roman leader, military occupation on top of that. And the Romans were probably the most honest of all three. The religious leaders, they would come to see John the Baptist, and he called them vipers. When they go to see Jesus Christ called them, you're of your father, the devil. And these were the people that were teaching God's people God's word. It was these evil people. And their kings were terrible. You read in the book of Acts where one of the kings was got up and everybody said, oh, he's like a god. And the angel came, slapped him on the face. He fell over dead and was eating the worms. I tell you, if they start doing that in our country, we probably lose 85% of our politicians.
100%.
I mean, good God, it's like... don't get me started on... But anyway, John the Baptist got political, you know, and quite often a good man of God needs to get political because that's one of the ways the devil moves, and the man of God has to warn his people that what's going on politically. It's like in the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah, he said to King Ahab, Ahab said to Elijah, he said, oh, you're the reason why we're having a drought. And the prophet turned around back to the king. He said, no, it's not me, it's you. And Ahab was bad, but one of the reasons why kings are so bad is to make alliances. They'll send the king of this country will get sent a queen from this country. And Jezebel wasn't one of the Judean believers. She was from another country where they worshipped other gods. And when she came to Israel, she wanted to keep worshiping those other gods. And then and when the prophets would say she's evil and she's worshiping false gods, it make her mad, and she decided, oh, we need to kill those prophets. Well, that's sort of what happened to John the Baptist. He said, hey, King, your wife is Philip's wife. It's not your wife. And you're committing adultery. So the daughter, they had a big drunken party, and the daughter of his wife, who wasn't his wife, said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king had already said that he would give her anything. And the king didn't want to do it, but he was manipulated into it. So anyway, John is in prison here. And John sent, after he baptized Christ, he sent some people to see. In fact, let's go to another verse here. We know this, but I wanted to read it anyway. Let's go to maybe Luke chapter 3. And now I don't want to do it from Luke. I'm changing my mind here as I go. Let's keep your finger here in Matthew, and we'll go back to Matthew chapter 3. And verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The guy, we're going to read in a little bit, he lived out in the wilderness, and he had like, he was, You know, if he was around today, people would say he's a conspiracy theorist. He's living off grid. He doesn't have a normal job. You know, he's out there. He doesn't shave. He wears these funky clothes. He lives like a mountain man. You know, he was, but you know what? He was doing what God called him to do. And saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Hosea, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The same John had his raiment of cap, basically he wore clothing with camel's hair and leather girded about his loins, and he ate wild locusts and wild honey. And he went out to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the land, and he was baptizing in the river Jordan. Here's what I wanted to get to, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, oh, I'm glad the religious leaders show up. You guys need to be baptized. No, he said, oh, generation of vipers. You guys are poisonous snakes. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? See, there's a day coming when, well, we're going to be gathered together in Christ. Then there's a day coming when there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And the people that are judged unjust, they're going to get thrown in the lake of fire. And they're going to be burned up. And these religious leaders, they're going to get in the lake of fire, and they get burned, and they will cease to exist. That will be God's justice. And so let's go down verse 11. I indeed baptized you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather his wheat in the garner, and he will burn up the chaff in an unquenchable fire. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized. And John forbade him, saying, you should be baptizing me, dude. He said, I'm not worthy. And Jesus answered and said, you know, we need to do it because this is going to fulfill the law. It's going to fulfill the prophecy. I'm sort of paraphrasing this stuff. And Jesus, when he was baptized, came up and went out straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove lighting on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, this is the third part of the Holy Trinity. No. Saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, I've heard it taught that Jesus went 30 years of his life without having Holy Spirit on him. And then when he got baptized, here is when he got the Holy Spirit. Well, how did he know to go to John to get baptized?
The Spirit upon.
Yeah. Well, see, Jesus was like any other man. He could get Spirit upon him at times. But when he got baptized here, he didn't just get the Spirit. He got the fullness of the Spirit. And you see in the Old Testament where people would get a little bit of Spirit on, where they could prophesy, or a little bit of Spirit where they could do this or that, and it would be on them from time to time. Here, Jesus got the full measure. And you see after this is when he started performing miracles. But he had to have some spiritual guidance to say, you know, you need to go to John. It wasn't his own idea. He at 12 years old, he was in the temple, and he told the religious leaders, he said, I need to be about my father's business. Or was that what he said to his parents? And he said it to somebody.
His parents.
Yeah, and so he knew then who he was. And now he got, because of John, he got the full measure of the Spirit. Now we're back in Matthew 11. So he sent this, John was interested. He wanted to make sure this guy really was the Son of God. And so these disciples from John came to him, and Jesus answered and said, go unto them and show John again these things that you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So basically it says, he said, yep, I am the Messiah. But he had to say it more cryptically. And verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus said unto the multitude concerning John, said, what did you guys go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man in fancy clothes? You know, did he have a silk suit? And fancy tie? Did he have these real fancy leather shoes? Did he have a whole entourage of people with him, you know, and the paparazzi were all there taking his picture? And was he this sophisticated dude with a fancy, you know, did he come in a private jet? You know, did he have bodyguards? Did he have, like, caviar and champagne on the jet, you know? No, he was this very earthy man. Verse 9, but what'd you go out to see? A prophet. Yea, he was more than a prophet. Verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face to prepare thy way before thee. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means up until the time John the Baptist came, there were no prophets that were his equal. And then Jesus Christ came along and got the full measure of the Spirit that was available. He got even more than John the Baptist. And then, remember, it says in John 14:12 that the works, Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do in greater works. Well, what God has done for us being born again, we not only have more power than John the Baptist, we have more than Jesus Christ had when he walked on the face of the earth. Because he couldn't speak in tongues, he couldn't interpret tongues, he couldn't, there was things we can do that he couldn't do. Yeah, he couldn't lead people into the new birth. I mean, so we can do things, and this is how big this thing is, and this is why the baptism was great. But it's really, I mean, if you want to get baptized, it won't hurt, but you can be saved without being baptized. It's no longer, it never was part of salvation. It was a way to bring God's people, to wake them up, saying, you guys have really gone, you're so far out in left field, you're not only out in left field, you've actually left the ballpark, you're out a couple blocks away. you're down the street, you're at the local bar, you know, having a beer or something, and you're not even in, you know. And it was a way of God calling God's people back, saying, hey, your son is coming. And it came in a very turbulent time. When there's turbulent times, that's quite often when God moves. You know, we live in a time where there's very evil politicians who I like to call the Uniparty. There's Democrats and Republicans trying to take our freedom away. And you have bureaucrats and judges and law enforcement and district attorneys that are all just trying their best to be evil. And they're like what John the Baptist would say, they're a brood of vipers. You know, they open their mouth and they got fangs with poison. But you know what? We've got Holy Spirit. We can back them down. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we are preparing, we're not preparing the way for Jesus to come. We're preparing the way for Jesus Christ to return. Now, some people say, I think it'll be in my lifetime. Well, that's a great thing to think. We don't know. It could be 20 seconds. It could be 20 million years. It could be a billion years. It could be 6 days and 42 minutes. I don't know. Who knows? It'll be the fullness of time. Because when the fullness of time came, he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. And John the Baptist was an amazing man. He had a rather short ministry, but without him, Jesus Christ wouldn't have been able to do what he did. And somebody had to prepare the way. And Jesus Christ was able, you know, he was the Son of God. I mean, what more can you say than that? But he's now sitting at the right hand of God, so that we can be sons of God. We can walk like John the Baptist walked. We can walk like Jesus Christ walked. And we can do greater works. And we are literally preparing the way for him to come back. And again, when will it be? I don't know. I'm not going to predict it. There was a thing I remember that was happened in 2016. Where people said in September 2016 that Jesus Christ was going to come back. And this guy had this really convincing video on YouTube and everything. But I just knew immediately that the Bible says no man will know. And the minute somebody predicts, I was trying to get all these people that were believing his prediction that to make a bet with me that say, okay, you think he's coming back? I bet you he doesn't. Not one of them would make that bet. Because it's a bet you can't lose. Because anytime somebody predicts that it's going to happen, the Bible says no man will know. And then it's all inclusive, no man or woman. Or even a little kid. Or even your little doggy. They won't know either. So, well, anyway, that's what I wanted to share today. John the Baptist was an amazing man, and it was a very interesting times that he lived in, and he actually got to see in the Messiah and interact with him, and
he got political,
yeah. And so it was, you know, I'm just excited about the Word of God. So I'm going to have a prayer, and then we'll have a little discussion here. I got a little song I'd like to play, if people can stay on for a minute here. I'm going to pray, I'm going to play a song, and try and share if I got my technology working good here. I found this YouTube video that's really cool. So I'll pray, and then I'll play the song, and then we can talk. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the great prophets that you sent all throughout the Old Testament. And thank you especially for the prophet John the Baptist, how he did prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come. And I thank you for, again, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was made available for us, that we could be born again, that we could stand before you without any sense of sin or guilt or condemnation, that our bodies could be healed of all manners of disease and all infirmities, and that we could have the Holy Spirit in us the same way that those men did, and that we could be like you, Heavenly Father. We could have Holy Spirit in us like your Holy Spirit. You give us that gift that we have your nature living in us. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me try and share this. There we go. Skip ad. I have to share it, sorry.
This land of ours is under attack. The time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I wanna sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Hold on me.
Yeah, I found that. Some woman, or I'm not sure who does that, but it was credited to a woman, but it sounds like a guy singing, so I'm not sure exactly.
No, Tracy is the name of a guy.
Oh, it's the name of a guy. Okay, yeah, it's Tracy.
Tracy,
okay.
Is a man's name, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we are not alone. We are not alone in standing against evil and standing for our inalienable God-given rights. Because God gave us our rights. The Constitution does not give us rights. The Constitution limits the government from taking our God-given rights. So that's why our Constitution is so wonderful.